You've heard the words. You may even have used them yourself. This is not what we expected. Perhaps you opened the curtains yesterday morning and looked out the window and saw the snow, and you said, "This is not what we expected. We were going to rake the lawn today." Two young Canadians were spending their second day in a hotel in Greece this past week, but their luggage was stuck in Terminal 4 at Heathrow and then moved to Naples. "I have to wear the same outfit, the same clothes, for 3 days," said one of the people to the media. "This is not what we expected when we left home." Not what we expected. Perhaps we've used the words also in a happier reference. Perhaps a family receives an unexpected windfall or a gift. Perhaps we're appointed to a new position, a new work job, a job in the work site. "This is not at all what we expected," we might say with delight. "This is splendid. We can now do some of those things that we never anticipated being able to do." Not what we expected. As we say the words, we struggle to come to terms with a new reality, be it a disappointment or a delight, as we adjust to whatever life has handed us at the moment. Not what we expected. I imagine that the two people in today's gospel reading might well have spoken those words. Cleopas and his travel companion, quite possibly his wife, were walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus in the late afternoon or early evening. It was the resurrection day, the first Easter. They were both disciples of Jesus, but not among the 12. Perhaps they had been part of the 70 whom Jesus had sent out. Perhaps they had become followers just in the past few days in Jerusalem. No matter what, in either case, it seems that they were on their way back home after Passover celebrations in Jerusalem. They were distraught over the death of Jesus. Passover this year was not at all what they had expected. Usually the annual observance of deliverance from Egypt was so meaningful. It was energizing, life-giving. Usually they had a spring in their step, a song on their lips, and a levity in their spirits as they made the trip back home. This year, it had been different. There had been contention, some disturbances in Jerusalem this year. It had not turned out as they had expected. And this Jesus was not what they expected either. They had expected that he would be the one who would redeem Israel, the deliverer, the promised Messiah. But it had all ended so badly. A late night arrest, an overnight trial, a cruel execution, a hasty burial. If he were the Messiah, it would not have ended this way at all. They were despondent. Jesus was not at all what they had expected. But then they encounter the resurrected Christ, walking with them. To them, he was just another traveler along a dusty road. The stranger asks them why they're sad, and they dialogue together. The pair didn't recognize Jesus, we're told. Why would they? This is not where they would expect an encounter with the Lord. This was not Jerusalem. They could expect a religious experience to take place in Jerusalem, Zion, the city of God, the place of worship where the temple was. But this was Emmaus. Emmaus, a small, unknown town, not mentioned anywhere else in the scripture, and still a mystery to archaeologists. Even if they comprehended the resurrection, why would they expect their Lord to meet them heading to such an unknown place? And this wasn't when they would expect an encounter with the Lord either. They might expect God to communicate with them while they were celebrating the Passover or at one of the other religious festivals, or when they were reading or singing or studying their faith together. But out here, on the road, or at home where they were picking up their everyday activities and their responsibilities, this is not when they would expect to meet the Lord or to have a faith encounter. But that is often the way when we have faith encounters. Certainly, God sometimes communicates with us in worship in these walls here on Sunday mornings at 11 o'clock. But more often it is as we go about our everyday lives. In the routine, Jesus walks with us, directs us, and instructs us. Dr. Earl Hawksworth was a minister of several churches and then went into education, and for a number of years was deputy minister of education here in Alberta. He used to recount, always with a grin and a chuckle, an experience that he had had. At some point many years ago, he was facing a major life decision about his future. He wanted God's leading, and so he went off for 3 days to a retreat center to pray and seek God's guidance about this decision. He thought and analyzed and prayed and meditated and sought God's guidance for the first day, and no direction. And then the second day, and the third day, God seemed to be silent about this decision he had to take. Finally, Earl went back home, still undecided, as he headed home. And as he'd been home for a while, getting back to the activities, when a phone conversation with a colleague on a totally unrelated topic gave him his answer. It was God's answer to him. Earl chuckled that it was not at a retreat or in prayer that God met him, but in a business day of everyday life, right back at home. God does not always meet us where we go looking for him, but often in the routine of every day. God meets us in the midst of life in places and times that we might not have expected. 5 or 6 years ago, I had a similar experience to Earl's. I, too, was facing a significant decision. I looked for wisdom and guidance here in worship as well as in personal prayer, but no clarity came. At the time, I worked with the city of Edmonton, and it was on a Wednesday morning while I was planning a training session for some city employees that I received an email from a Christian firefighter. He gave his suggestions for the workshop, his feedback on the suggestions in the discussion group, and then added a verse of scripture at the end of the email, a verse of scripture that he felt directed he should add for my benefit. That verse was exactly what I needed. It gave me a peace about the decision. For me, it was God's direction. God met me not in worship or in time of prayer, even though certainly they have value and merit, but God met me through a co-worker in the midst of a business day. There was a conference called Purpose at Work held this past week in Toronto. It was about exactly this, taking the resurrected Christ to work, experiencing God in the workplace where we might not expect to encounter him. It was billed as for those who see business as both a ministry and a calling, for those who want to take biblical values and Christian caring to the workplace. In so doing, they are allowing co-workers and staff and indeed themselves, to encounter the living Christ where they had not expected, in the midst of everyday activities and business. A spiritual encounter on the road to Emmaus. It wasn't what or where or when these disciples expected. It was not who they had expected either. If they had expected to meet the resurrected Lord, surely he would have come in power, surrounded by his people, perhaps even by his angels, likely in some glorious procession. But no, Jesus met them as a fellow traveler, as one of them, as a stranger. And a stranger who was seemingly out of touch with events in Jerusalem that weekend. Brother Teresa used to point out that is so often how Jesus comes to us, not as a religious person, not as a person of power or ceremony, but he comes as the stranger, as the poor, as the sick, or as the dying person. He comes to us to allow us to minister to him in them. It's not what we expect. And yet this stranger taught these two disciples, as Mother Teresa used to say, that the poor, the stranger, the dying have so much to teach us. It is not what we expect. But then these two disciples learned something new about the Messiah and the scriptures as well. That too was not what they had expected. They had understood the scriptures like any other Jewish person. They had studied the scriptures from childhood. But then this stranger, the Lord himself, as it turns out, teaches something new in the scriptures, a new way of looking at the scriptures, of reading the scriptures, a different perspective, a new angle on some familiar passages, a new way of looking, a new way of reading the scriptures. And as they learned about the scriptures from this stranger, their heart was warmed within them in the presence of Christ. It was not what they expected. The church has always had to do that, to take a fresh look at the scriptures. We need only think of the time when the church was convinced that the Bible taught that the earth was the center of the universe. When confronted with scientific evidence, the church eventually had to reread the scriptures. The scriptures and the authority of scripture, of course, do not change, but our reading and understanding of them must change according to evidence or culture or needs. Personally, I become concerned when Christians have a rigid understanding, an unchanging interpretation of scriptures, when they seem to have some formula that which they believe holds forever. It is as if they have God all locked up in a box and he can't act in a new or different way. By taking a fresh look at scripture, this couple on the road learned something new about the Messiah and about their faith, something that they had not expected. Not what we expected. Now, my standing here in the pulpit this morning in April 2008 as interim minister is not what I had expected, not what you had expected either, I'm sure. We'd all expected that a new senior minister would have been in place before now. Originally, I had expected that Dot and I would be retired, possibly volunteering overseas. Those were our plans. God, it seems, had others. Yet for me, serving here at first is a time of learning, of growing, and of being surprised and delighted by God, of loving and being loved by God's people. And for you as members of this congregation, this extended interim time is not what you expected either. But in hindsight, I believe it's a necessary time, a time for clarification, self-definition, of caring for and loving each other in new and different ways. It is a time when I truly believe God has been and continues to be present. This week, Joyce and I finally had that lunch that we promised to mark the end of her term as moderator. We talked a bit of some of the challenges of the past few years, but more than that, we marveled at the evidence of God's work in this congregation. We noticed that repeatedly, God provided the person we needed, the resource we needed, the idea we needed, just in time as we needed it. We agreed that God has been and is present in our congregation, surprising us, delighting us, directing us, using us in ways we didn't expect. I sense we've been having an experience similar to that that's described in the poem's Footprints, which we all know so well. We may have felt lost or overwhelmed. We may have been going where we didn't expect. We may have felt abandoned. But when we look back, we see by the footprints in the sand that God has not only been walking with us, but that at times he's been carrying us, carrying his church. This is, after all, his church. But now we're looking ahead, not sure what to expect. We anticipate that 2 weeks from now, a candidate for the senior minister position will be standing here and delivering the sermon in this place. I sense that for some of us, we're cautiously optimistic. Others are somewhat anxious about the weekend. Now, I need to say that I do not know the candidate, and I know relatively little about him. But what are we expecting? Some of us are expecting that he'll have a suitable theology, and some may fear that he may not. Some, I would guess, are expecting a great preacher, a dynamic motivator. Some are looking for a pastor, a counselor, someone who will love us. Some may be expecting an ideas person, an educator, someone with good with youth and families, great at outreach to the community and to the downtown. And after a long wait, we may be expecting a candidate who can walk on water while balancing the entire church on his shoulders at the same time. But after a long wait, some of us may be afraid to expect much. Some are simply going to wait, see, and pray. At the end of the weekend, for better or for worse, some of us may be saying, "He's not what I expected. He is better at this or not so good at that." We must, of course, evaluate his fit with us, just as he will be evaluating our fit with him and his family. But ultimately, what any of us expects is not the issue or the concern. The question ultimately should be, is Christ present in this relationship? Like the disciples on the Emmaus Road, do we sense our hearts warming in each other's presence because the living Christ is here and at work in this relationship? And so for that reason, I would encourage you, if at all possible, as Karen mentioned earlier, to drop in on the Saturday afternoon to get to know the candidate a little bit. And if you can't do that, then certainly take time to talk with him over lunch on the Sunday. But then, if for whatever reason these explorations do not result in his coming to first, what do we expect then? Well, certainly we can expect to be disappointed in another delay. I can expect that I may have a few difficult decisions to make, But none of that will negate the fact that this is the church of the resurrected Christ, that the Spirit of God is present among us, and when God deems that we are ready, he will bring us a minister to match our needs. That we can expect. God comes to us in ways and places and times that we don't expect. Sometimes he surprises and delights us. Now, Cleopas and his travel companion continued on their journey until they arrived home or at the inn in Emmaus. They invited the stranger to come and spend the night. It was at supper together that something else occurred that they didn't expect. As this stranger broke bread and gave thanks, they recognized that this stranger was the risen Christ. And that is how it has been for the Church of Jesus Christ. It is often at the table of the Lord, that we recognize his presence and that he communicates with us. He reminds us of his love, of his care, of his self-sacrifice for us. Jesus is present. So come, join him at the table. He might just reveal himself to us in ways that we didn't expect. Come then to the table.